Happy Sunday morning and good morning. I'm Jay Thomas. Welcome to Garden Talk. We got Jill in the studio here. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
And we've got Rick on the phone. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Where are you coming to us from today?
From the McPhail Cove up at Emma Lake.
Oh, right on. What's it like up there?
Yesterday was a beautiful day. We were supposed to be up here last weekend, but it was windy and cold and cloudy, so we kind of put it off to this weekend. So
no doubt.
My sister and some friends up at the cabin and just enjoying life.
Awesome. That's great.
And the sister he's with is Elsa, and Elsa is queen of perennials. And the yard up at Emma Lake, Rick, walk us through that yard a little bit.
Yeah, it's flowers and rock gardens and flowers and plants, and she lives here up here for the whole summer, and so she doesn't do much in her yard at home, but it's like major plants and garden here up at the lake.
I call it the trial gardens of Dutch growers, because any new plant that we get in, it gets trialed up at Emma Lake. And I'm always like, can you make sure this is hardy in Saskatchewan? So we try it up at Emma Lake. And
if there's a place to figure it out, it's up there, right?
So it's absolutely beautiful. It's really sheltered up there, but then there's areas where it's very northern and rocky and sandy soil and some very peaty soil. So it's lots of very neat areas to grow in.
And it's funny, I took the dog out for a little walk this morning, and I forgot that she has all these, there's lots of deer up here, right? And that's, so I forgot that she has all these scarecrow sprinklers around. And so you go walking through them, and all of a sudden the motion detector shoots off the sprinkler and get,
So you run from one and then you run in the other direction. Another one gets you.
Another one gets you.
That's like a skit out of a movie. I love it.
But you do find does she find that those scarecrows work up there?
Oh, they work awesome. Mm-hmm. You don't see any deer tracks in her yard at all.
Oh, that's great.
That's fantastic. 1-877-332-8255. A couple of great ways to join the conversation. You can call us, of course. Join us on the phone. Those calls get up first. And then we check our text line. You can also text us. And we can go that way with questions you got for us. So let's go to the text line first. We'll get a couple of these answered. They're very early birds that have texted us this morning. This is from Brenda in Wapella. Says, good morning. Replanting my harvested and dried fall garlic. First question, garlic was dried in a garage with a fan on it. Occasionally some sunshine hit the garlic. Will that impact its viability as seed garlic? What do you think, Rick?
No, it should be fine.
Fine.
It's better if you had it in a dark spot, but I mean, it should be fine.
And
just the matter of planting it you're thinking about planting it. Normally I'd start planting it around the September long weekend, because I just want it to root in the ground. I don't want it to start growing.
Okay.
So I'd wait just a little bit longer. It's a little bit early to start planting it out yet around here.
Second half of Brenda's question is, I damaged some garlic heads when digging it up. Can I plant the cloves that were not damaged from that particular head of garlic?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Absolutely.
The one thing that she might want to check when she's planting the garlic is if it was out in the sun for a long, long period of time, it will be all dry and crunchy inside. If it's that dry, then it might not be viable. But if it still has moisture in it, then it should be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Julie, who's in Strasbourg. Another early texture here. Is it my imagination, or have trees been shedding more, that is, losing leaves, small branches, all summer? In this past summer, it seems to has happened, usually it's in the fall. Now it seems like I'm cleaning up all summer. Is it like a change in climate, or what do you think is happening, going on? I'm noticing more dead branches on the trees. Seems to be struggling.
Depends where they are. I mean, the places we still had some effects of the drought. I know we had some trees that were around my place that are in the native bush, and that I noticed a lot of the dead trees because they were struggling during the drought. I mean, this year we had more rain, but I mean, it's too late. Those trees already were stressed past beyond where they could survive, but they're all coming up from the base again. But yeah, and then on top of that, with all the wind we've had this year, you're going to have a lot more branches falling down. So you just have a combination of a couple of things, and just making sure you deep water your plants at least once a month, and fertilize them, especially, in the spring, every spring, get them going and give them some food, because we take away all their food and we clean up our yards, and and you can keep the tree healthy even through those type of stressful times.
Right. So, I mean, is it like full-out climate change? Well, I wouldn't go that far just because we have ups and downs, right, in our weather patterns, right? And we have droughts, and we've got really wet times, right, Rick?
It's a cycle. I mean, in my life, I've seen lots of cycles. I mean, there was a bad drought of the 80s that I lived through, and that was really droughty, and we lost a lot of trees. And then we had, how many years ago, 10, 12 years ago, we had that where we had about 5-6 years of rain, of water, and all the native trees in the sloughs grew bigger, and all the trees around the sloughs all died because they were underwater. So it's
right.
Just cycles.
It's just a cycle. And that's the thing, yeah. Is if you're just sort of anecdotally looking at the trees, say, in your neighborhood, right?
Yep.
Are people watering those trees, or are they suffering because of 5, 6, 7 years of kind of low water now, right?
Yep.
Drought. And
yep.
Strasbourg is kind of, you know, in the lower part of the province, more in southern, you know, part of the province.
Yeah.
They've had definitely less rain. It's more wide open there, you know, it's hotter, right? So.
Yep. It's all those things. We had a lot of drought back down in the southern part of the province. So, yes.
So it's more probably just, to answer your question, Julie, it's more probably just seeing the long-term effects now of just a few years of low water. And if those trees were, you know, are on the property of people who deep water them, like if you look around at other yards that where the people are really taking care of those trees, they probably don't look like that, you know? And like you said too, Rick, it's been one windy season as well. So...
A big time.
Definitely. In fact, that was, I guess that was since, I'm just trying to think here. Was it last Thursday that we had the big storm?
Two Thursdays.
Yeah,
ago.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we had lots of stuff come through.
We had the big supercell come through from Battleford all the way up to Warman, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
That was this past weekend.
Yeah.
That was Wednesday night.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yes, I live in Martinsville, so it was absolutely nuts. We were actually in the basement for a while. It was to the point where they had put out, you know, when you say like tornado warning, of course you want to take it seriously, but you kind of look up at the sky and you go, okay, well, there's definitely no tornado here right now. It's all fine.
Yeah.
But
well, I heard up in the Waka area that a lot of the crops are laying down. So
you get that phone warning on your phone. Well, I had some people saying that they got it even on their alarm systems in their homes too, saying that it was a tornado warning. So, and they've never had that ever.
Well,
before.
And it happened when it happens once. You go, okay, maybe it's in the mobile area, but it happened 2, 3, 4. Like they sent it out over and over and over and over.
Yeah,
and that's when you kind of know it's getting serious because you know that it keeps repeating that that. Crazy alarm on your phone and on the radio and everywhere else that it plays. So yeah, it was pretty windy. I moved the plants in the garage. I had enough time and there was a moment I was outside and I swear I saw a funnel cloud, and I've seen a picture shot from the Martinsville the field behind the Martinsville High School of what I saw, and nothing's been confirmed, but boy, that looks an awful lot like a funnel cloud. So yeah, it was some pretty intense winds, and the wind was so strong with the heavy rain, it was coming through my front door. Like I had an entryway full of water. Yeah, I had to mop up.
You can go on the social media and look at the pictures of that supercell as it was coming across the province, and that was a pretty mean looking cloud.
Yeah, and I've heard just in through the grapevine, people having, you know, some, you know, around Hague and Neuenlage and all those areas, just north Osler, just north of
Rostern,
it got some serious damage.
Yeah.
So, nothing confirmed, you know, but that's kind of what I've heard about. So, anyways, why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back with lots more. Debbie in White Fox, your call is coming up first the moment we get back. So hang on and we'll go back to the text line too. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You're listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Jay. We got Jill in studio. Rick is on the phone from the lake, enjoying the lake life up there right now, but we're here for you for the whole show. We've got lots of texts that are rolled in, but we promised Debbie that she would get to go first when we got back. So here we go. We're going out to White Fox, which is out by Nipawin, close to there, right? Is that right, Debbie?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you want to talk about some blooming trees. What's going on?
Yeah, fruit trees. Well, I've got like probably 20 fruit trees, cherry, plum, and pear. And they've been planted for, oh, I don't know, 7-8 years maybe. And they don't, they bloom, but they don't produce any fruit. Ever.
If they don't produce any fruit, one thing I would check for is, have you ever done a pH test of your soil?
No.
Okay, so do a pH of a test. You can pick it up at pretty much any garden center. You can pick up a home test. You need to pick up some distilled water, first of all, from a pharmacy or something.
Okay.
And then do a pH test. See where the pH is at.
Okay.
If you're really high or really low, I'm not sure what you're going to be up where you are, then you want to get it around 7. That's where you want to be. So you're going to have to add either lime or you're going to have to add sulfur or aluminum sulfate.
Okay. And you add that around each tree?
Yeah, add that around each tree, and you have to do that at least once per month, okay?
Okay.
Depending on where it's at. So that's the first thing you want to check. And then have you ever added any nutrients to your plant at all?
It's surrounded by lawn, so the lawn is fertilized every, twice a year.
Yeah, you probably should probably look at giving them some micronutrients, like using a fruit and berry type of fertilizer.
Oh, okay. Each tree.
I'm not really worried about nitrogen as much as I'm worried about more phosphorus, potassium, and boron, magnesium, zinc, and all those other micronutrients. That's what's going to be important, and they might be just out of energy. And then how's your pollinators been around? Has it been flowering the tree?
We've had and there's lots of bees
so that's a good thing, because normally up in your area there's lots of beehives, so your area, so
yes, yeah, no, we're not short of that, but they just do not produce any fruit. So
I would check first of all the pH is probably the biggest one I would check for you.
I'll do that. So, like at your garden center, we could get a kit.
Okay. You pretty much could get them at any garden center. Pretty much anybody's going to have them. That has a garden center. So they're just a very simple little pill thing that you take some soil and you mix some water with it, distilled water with it, and you just do the test right in your kitchen.
Oh, you do it yourself. You don't send it away. Okay.
Do it yourself.
Okay. Great. Yep. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Debbie. Take care.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
1-877-332-8255. Let's zip over to the text line right now and jump back into where we were there. I think this is, looks like Ralph at Fishing Lake. Our large pines lost at least 95% of its needles. That's a lot. I've texted before, and Rick said either to, mulch or to too little water. So maybe not enough water. Now they're showing some new growth. Is it going to be an issue over the winter?
If it's just showing new growth now, no, it's still okay yet, but they'll start shutting down in the next 2 weeks. And
okay.
So they'll be fine. Just what you want to start doing as you start getting toward, now it's fine yet, but as you get toward September 1st, you want to slow down on the watering, but don't cut off completely, but start slowing down the watering and getting them ready for wintertime. And then around the third week in October, go out there and give them one last soak, a really good soak.
Okay, yep.
And then you're fine for winter.
All right, there you go. Julie in Battleford, one of our regulars that texts us, says she's got gooseberry bushes, and they are over 20 years old. Production is starting to decline. She says, I understand cutting them down will rejuvenate them. How low to the ground do I cut them, and how long until they start producing again?
Yeah, I would cut them down to at least 2 feet off the ground. And then just shape them into a ball type of thing as you trim them down like that. And then you'll get some the next following year yet, but then the year after that, then you'll start your production back over again.
So next summer, so it's basically this fall, chop them down. Next summer, you'll get new growth and you'll get a smaller crop. The following year, you'll be back up to where you were.
Yeah, well, maybe not quite where you were, but getting closer every year after that.
And best time, ideal time to chop them down is after they've gone dormant in the fall?
That's correct. Once the leaves fall in the fall, or otherwise the first week of April next spring.
Okay. This is Dal, who's in Saskatoon. I've had brown spots on the beet leaves before, but now I see lines on peas and even some sweet peas. Apples have more worms too, even though I've hung those, yellow sticky papers in the trees. Could those things be related, Rick?
I've seen lots of minor in the vegetables and that, so those are all a little fly that lays an eggs, and then the miner goes into the leaf, right? And also same thing with the apple maggot, right? The fly comes out in July and then lays its egg and then goes into the apple. So they're two different insects altogether, but basically related, because they're all minor type. I've been getting lots of leaves from willows and poplars as well, having the same black blotches on the leaves, and those are all mostly minors as well.
Okay, so what does Dal do then?
It's pretty tough, because the only thing you really do to protect yourself from miners is using a crop cover. Really, that's about the only thing, keeping the flies off of the plant themselves. Because especially in the garden, there's not very many chemicals that have a systemic use to it that you want to use in the garden, okay, because you're going to be eating those vegetables.
And then make sure that if you see them right away in the season, you can pick those leaves off and don't throw them in the compost, throw them in the garbage, because they will just kind of come back every year if you do that. So that's important. The other thing too, if you want to plant them a little bit later next year, and make sure you use a row cover, that will help prevent them for next year, but nothing you can do this year.
Okay. All right. Let's keep moving with our text line. 1-877-332-8255. This is Irene, who's in Martinsville. Good morning. Is it okay to put rhubarb leaves on the garden and let them compost into the soil, or are the leaves not good for the soil because I hear they're poisonous? The second question is, do rhubarb leaves get rid of ants? What do you think for that, Rick?
Yeah, well, rhubarb leaves, you don't want to eat it because it is not good for you to eat the leaves, right? But, I mean, you look at rhubarb that's been in these farmers' yards for decades. They keep laying their leaves onto the ground every year as mulch, basically, and the plants still thrive, right? So it's not going to hurt the soil at all. I mean, the soil will basically compost those leaves, and it'll be all fine. So
you can lay them down kind of in the rows and walk on them, and they keep the weeds down, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, you shouldn't have a problem with that. You just don't want to eat them. You just don't want to eat the leaves because they're not good for you.
And it's not going to, if they're not good for you, but that's not going to translate into your ground crops or anything else, right?
No, once the bacteria start breaking it down, it'll be fine.
Okay.
And then with the ants, they're not going to, rhubarb's not going to get rid of ants for you.
I've never heard about rhubarb getting rid of the ants. They may, but I've never come across that at all.
A great companion plant that would help deter ants is mint, though. So if you want to plant mint as a companion plant in your yard, that will actually deter ants as well.
Mint, okay, that's a good one. Very cool. 1-877-332-8255. Carrie is from Ontario. It says, I have a flower bed on the south side of a brick house. I've grown onions and chives, but it's hard to keep them from burning. What can I plant for vines, flowers, or any kind of plant that it can sustain the heat and won't attract aphids?
Mm. That's going to be a tricky one, because a lot of those plants that like the heat, aphids are a common bug that you're just going to have there. So what I would do is a companion plant. So I'd maybe plant some marigolds, which will help deter some of the aphids. But petunias would do great there. Anything like a hollyhock, if you're wanting something there. If you're wanting some plants that are going to survive the winter, you could always do some daylilies in that area, or some beautiful chrysanthemums. There's
autumn joy sedum, love the heat, any of the sedums.
Yeah, and the aphids don't really love the succulent leaf on there, so that would be one, and they bloom into the fall. But yeah, you're right. If you have that brick there, you're going to find your vegetable plants, especially the leafy vegetable plants, they're going to burn, and they're usually going to bolt as well, too, if you have any leafy vegetables.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, well, we got to pretty much take a break here. We've got a news update for everybody. Carrie, I hope that helps you out. We'll go back to our text line as soon as we get back. And I want to ask Jill and Rick what's new in the Garden Center. We've also got some hot weather on the way. We're going to discuss that, too. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Happy Sunday and welcome back. I'm Jay with Jill, and we've got Rick on the phone. We're going to get him locked in. We'll go to the text line, but the phone lines are lighting up right now, which is great. We'll talk about a few things, what's happening in the Garden Center and the weather and a few things like that when we get a moment, but we got lots of calls. So here we go. Ready, Rick?
Let's go.
All right. I think the first call that came in, if I was paying attention correctly, is from Marie, who is in Hague. Hi, Marie. How are you? Hello. Okay. We're going to see if Marie is going to wake up. We'll get to her back in a second here. Right now, out to Big River to talk to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. How are you?
Hi.
Excellent. How's it going up there?
It's great.
Awesome.
Great, great, great. Lots of rain, so we're good.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Apple tree, what's going on there?
Well, we failed to haul our trees the proper way, and we have a prairie sensation and a fall red that we've just planted. Both are, one's about 5 feet, the other's about 6 or 7 feet. And we lost the top branches, the leaves on the top branches, they're gone. So we're just wondering, should we trim it now, trim it in the fall? What do we do? How do we make this work?
Yeah, just they came off, just the leaves lost off them, that's all?
Yeah, the branches are there. The branches are strong. There's nothing broke. It's just the leaves are gone. The bottom part is still green.
No, this time of the season, I just leave them, and they'll set out new buds for next year.
Okay, and so just leave those dead leaves. Yep. They're actually most all off now. But
Because they would have, if you had noticed, right, where those leaves were, they'll be almost like a terminal bud for next year. They should have formed already. By this time of the year, they should have formed already. So you'll be fine. It'd be no different than, let's say, if you had a bunch of tent caterpillars come through and eat all the leaves off, right?
Okay.
And then it'll just send out a secondary leaf. So now just treat it like you would normally, and then next year you should be just fine.
Now, how about a couple of tips for success for Sharon up in the north, because that's where Big River is. With apple trees, I mean, apple trees taste like dessert for bunny rabbits and deer and everything, right?
Yeah, just protect the trunk from voles and rabbits, and also a little fence around them to keep the deer away from them, because they will chew, if they find them, they will chew on them. So
I have heard about that. We live in town, but I mean, we still, you know, we can still get the rabbits, and an occasional deer comes through as well. The other thing I want to ask is about trimming it to shape it. Like maybe not this year, but probably next year. Like what? How would we do that?
Okay, it all depends. What you want to do is you want to make sure if any suckers come from the graft down below, keep those trimmed off as they form. Don't wait till they become long 3 foot branches, you know?
Okay.
If you see a leaf down there, knock it off right away when it's just a little leaf. And then other than that, just watch your structure of your plant. Just make sure you don't have any branches that are going to grow and cross each other. That's the big one. No crossing branches, so get it when it's little, and if you see that it's going to go across or another set of branches, cut it off when it's little, and then it takes a lot less energy and the plant will do way better. And then any what I call water sprouts, any plants that come out of the side of the main trunk and grow straight up through the middle of the tree, keep those off too as the tree grows older. And then also as the tree, every year if I want some height off the ground, I'll just take one set of branches off the bottom each year, but I won't have to do that for at least 2 or 3 years from now.
Okay. What about when you've got some really long branches and short branches and you just want to shape it up a little bit so that you don't have a lot of branches on one side and not the other? Can you just trim those longer branches off or pardon them off? Or
not a problem. You can do that. If there's some new growth time, you can do that anytime. Otherwise, if it's bigger branches you're going to do, you want to do it when the plant is dormant in October. Or otherwise, anytime in March or the first week of April.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome. Thanks, Sharon. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. We'll keep moving with the calls here out to Bigger to talk with Mike. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good, good. Another apple tree question. I came across I found a garden plot, and it actually has 3 apple trees on it. With a sprinkler system, and nobody knows what the varieties were. It's been neglected for I don't know how many years. But the apples are anywhere from 2.5 to 3 inches diameter and very sweet. And I want to know about the two-part question. How do I propagate it from seed? And the one tree, it badly needs pruning, and there's a bunch of suckers coming up. So how am I able to propagate the suckers?
Okay, well, the suckers, depending where they're coming from, above or below the graft, okay?
Either they're coming from right from the base.
Yeah, the base, depending if the graft was buried when it was first planted, below the ground or if it's above the ground, you see? So you have to kind of figure out, and on older trees, it's really hard to figure that out, but you can tell by the leaves, because the leaves are totally different, okay?
Yeah. My background, I'm a field crop agronomist. I'm learning all about horticulture, and I envy you guys. You probably know more about plants than I do. But
you could tell by the leaves, they're sort of more pointed, and they're not as big and round as, let's say, the leaves on your tame tree. Okay.
Okay.
And so that's what you'll tell whether they're from the rootstock. Okay.
Okay.
And if they're from the rootstock, bottom line is that you keep those trimmed off. Okay. To get the plants started from seed, apples don't normally start from seed because they revert back to the rootstock, or they don't become the same plant. The only way you can get a plant is by either grafting or budding. You know, so you take a rootstock, you take another rootstock or another plant from another branch from another tree, and you take a bud, which you would take off in, let's say, March or so, and then later on, you know, in May, you would bud that onto another apple tree or a rootstock of an apple tree.
So it's kind of a hobby type of thing, sort of a gardener's challenge, because if you really just want another apple tree for a different location, it's a lot easier just to go buy an apple tree than it is the work that's involved with that, because it's not quite as simple as...
Yeah.
But the biggest one a lot of people will try to graft or bud is because they love that one apple tree. They don't know what it is, but they want to reproduce it.
Right.
And so the best way to do that is by budding or grafting.
And with the suckers coming out of there, I've done that during doing reclamation work for willows and stuff.
Yep.
And do I do the same process if I want to try to get a sucker going?
You can try, but apples don't do the same as willows and poplars. Willows and poplars just go by, you know, sticks, easy, really easy. But apples don't go that easy. You can take the seed, okay? And you can grow apple seed, right? And then grow the seed up, and then grow the plant up from that, and then take a bud from your tame tree, and then graft it onto that seedling.
Okay.
Okay. That'd be the way I would do it.
Okay. Either that, or I guess there's two options here. I can get another apple tree from you guys or whoever, and just do a bunch of grafting on it.
And just do a bunch of grafting or budding. Actually, a T-bud is probably the easiest way to do it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye now. 1-877-332-8255. We're just hitting that quarter of the hour mark. So actually we're going to take this opportunity, just a quick break right now. Hang on, Marie. We're going to get to your call again just when we get back. So stick on that phone. We'll get to your call first thing when we get back up. And Veronica in Regina, talking about wrapping and unwrapping trees, when to do that. That's good information we're going to get to as well. So Marie, you're first up. Veronica, you're after that. We'll be back shortly. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Zooming towards 10 o'clock, but we got another segment to go and a whole other hour coming up. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Welcome back to Garden Talk. Nice day where we are. It looks like the clouds are clearing off. Big blue sky. And we're looking at a whole lot of hot weather coming up. We'll talk about what that means for our plants and where we are in the season with that in a second. But we got all these calls to go through. So here we go. And we're running out to Hague right now to talk to Marie. Hi, Marie. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you.
Excellent. Talk about an orchid cactus. Is that, Jill, is that an orchid or is it a cactus?
It's an orchid cactus. It's grown inside. It's a houseplant.
It's a houseplant. What's your question?
I want to know how to make it bloom. It bloomed for quite a few years, and then in the last couple of years, it hasn't bloomed. And I've tried all kinds of different things, like coffee grounds and eggshells and banana water. And nothing seems to seem to get it to bloom again. So,
well, one thing that I found to make them bloom is trying to change its climate a little bit. By now, we're getting a little bit of these cool nights. So, even if you can have it by an open window at night.
Yeah, I do at night.
Have you tried that? So making sure that temperature is going down, or move them into a darker room for maybe about 3 or 4 days and then move them back into the sunlight.
Right.
Have you tried that at all?
Yes, I have. I've got the window open every night.
Okay. And then the other thing that I found people will do is they'll actually even take a box and they'll throw a box right over top of it for a couple days so that it's almost like in complete darkness, and then take the box off and then let it enjoy the light. So
try
those things. And then the other thing is playing with the watering. So letting it go a little bit drier than normal and then watering it. So that's another option too.
I've done that, and I've given it a good splash of water once in a while too, because I hear that that's what makes them bloom again. So.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're doing all the right things, but I would try the darkness to light, and then getting it a little bit in that cooler temperatures just by moving it into like a cooler room or even a east or a north location for a little bit with that cool temperature and see if that works.
Well, I'll try that, because it's beautiful when it blooms and everything, and I've got five of them. So I actually transplanted two more, actually, see if that makes any difference.
But. Have you tried pinching the tips off at all yet, doing a little bit of pruning?
Pardon me?
Have you tried doing a little bit of pruning and pinching the tips?
Yeah, I've done that. That's why I got the other plants off it. So.
Yeah, because that's another little trick, too. But it sounds like you've done that. So I would try playing with the daylight.
How about a cactus fertilizer?
I'll try that and see what happens, and I'll let you know.
Okay, I'm excited to see how this turns out for you.
Okay, thank you so much for your information.
Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye, Marie. 1-877-332-8255. I had to look this up because I didn't know what, like, I know what an orchid is and I know what a cactus is.
Yeah.
But I've never really, now that I look the pictures up.
It almost looks like a Christmas cactus, but it's a little bit different. It has a different type of flower on it.
Yeah, they're orchid-like flowers on a cactus.
Yeah.
And I think I remember my grandmother having one of these when I was a kid. If I sort of think back, like, oh, yeah, okay, I kind of recognize that
car. They're one of those plants that you can hand down to generations. And,
right.
A lot of people will have, like, their grandmother's plant that they've had for a while.
But it's part of the cactus family.
Yeah, cactus succulent
family.
It's
not from the orchid family.
No.
It just looks like an orchid.
Yes.
Sort of. Okay, 1-877-332-8255. Let's keep moving. In Saskatoon, looks like we're talking about apple trees today. We got Bob on the line. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Oh, pretty good for the morning. You helped me with my carrots last week.
Oh, excellent. What's going on now?
Well, I got two apple trees in my backyard, and the pulp in them tastes like a firm Macintosh apple, and that it's not a crab apple. And the skin is waxy, whatever, and it drops, it doesn't bruise, eh? And it's been there, two apple trees have been there for about 40 years. They're yellow and with red, because I think they crossed over from my neighbor's two things over. And he's got a crab apple tree, but when his dropped it, crab apple, and his skin's a lot, not as firm as mine is. It bruises very easily. The question I got says mine's yellow, and it got a bit of red on it, and I had it for 40 years, and it's never been grafted on it, because it grew up, and I had the same thing when I had a couple of accidents on limbs. And that, what kind of apple trees do I have?
What do you think, Rick?
I'd have
yellow and red.
It's yellow and red.
Yellow and red apples, yes. They make good cider, grapefruit pies. When they're green and all that, you can cut them up and probably taste like Maggie Smith, but I'm over 75 in that, and they probably make even a better pie. What kind of apple trees do I have?
Okay, hang on a sec.
When do they turn soft? When do you have to pick them for?
Oh, about the end of September, October. I can't. They get so sugary, they're about ready to throw away as far as that goes. The wasps love them, but that's another story.
Okay, so they're and what's the size of them?
Right now, they're the size of your fist in that, because I got it trimmed 2 years ago on that, and I'm getting more apples and smaller and better apples because I trimmed it 2 years ago. Both of them.
Are they more flatter, like, or are they more elongated?
They're more like a Macintosh. They're round.
Yeah. So the only thing I can think of is that.
But they've never been grafted because when they had the accident, when one little stem from one of them did, because I had a complete stump and it went up, and I had seven apple trees about the end of August and that, and then it took off again. And that, like I said, these were never grafted because I continually got the same kind of fruit.
I'd check if it looks like a Macintosh, more like an apple, and it's that age. I would. Look at some pictures of some Goodland apples.
Is that it? Because the trees
Goodland
were
apples,
72, 73, and I bought the house because I had these two in another tree because I always wanted apple trees.
Yeah, look at the ones called Goodland Apple. If it's yellow and has red streaks in it?
Not red streaks. Mine's got patches of red. I think they crossed over from the neighbors two doors over because of the bees and whatever else does it.
Yeah. And the only other one that would apple, be huh? is like the old Edith Smith as well. It might be something like that.
But I don't know. I've had the house for close to 30 years, too, and when I bought it, nobody told me what the apple trees were.
But what you could do is send a picture of the apple itself.
Well, I have to do 877. I got a little flip phone. I don't believe in this new technology. Sorry.
Well, you can take a picture, Bob, with an old camera if you want, and drive it right into Dutch Growers that way too.
Oh, I could do it too. Then thank you very much. But I just kind of curious if you knew, because I really like to know what variety I got.
You bet.
Even bring an apple if you're coming in. Bring an apple with you, and if I'm not there, they'll take a picture of it and they'll send it to me, and I'll be able to tell you.
All right, thanks, Bob. We're going to keep moving. Thanks for the call today. 1-877-332-8255. All right, let's go on to the next one, who is, let's just make sure we got time. Oh, look at that. We've got to go. We got 1 minute, so we got to go to our break. So Veronica and Bernie, hang on. We're going to get to your calls as soon as we get back from our top of the hour break. We just got 1 minute, not enough time quite to answer a call. Let's talk about this. With a minute to go, what's happening in the Garden Center right now?
Well, we just finished our first repotting party, which was people bringing in their house plants. We had that all day yesterday and all day today, and it was just really exciting to see people coming in, taking their plants apart. We had snake plants coming in and them dividing it. We had philodendrons coming in, putting them onto moss poles. We had some Christmas cactuses coming in that people were too nervous about doing it themselves, so transplanted those. But it was just, we had some pothos that were getting a little bit lanky and teaching people how to prune them and maybe using some rooting hormone to maybe start some new plants. So we did a little bit of that. So it was just sort of, that was really exciting, our very first time getting that done.
Awesome. If you're guys going to do more of it?
We have another one today. So all day you can go onto our website and still sign up, or we'll be probably doing some more in the fall.
Excellent. Okay. Veronica, Bernie, hang on. We're going to get back to you guys as soon as we get back. And then the text line too. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, here we go with hour number two. The show is just zooming by, which is great. I'm Jay. We've got Jill in the studio. Rick is on the phone. He's come to us from up north at McPhee Lake.
Emma Lake.
Okay, there we go. I got it right. No, Jill got it right.
You got it right earlier.
That's right. Okay, here we go. Ready to go, Rick?
Yep.
Excellent. Okay, first call we're going to get to, and we're going to go through the order that they arrive. So, guys, just hang on the line. Thanks for your patience. Is Veronica, who is in Regina. Hi, Veronica. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for waiting for us. You got a couple quick questions. Let's talk about the trees. What's your question with that?
When do you wrap them and unwrap them?
Rick, what do you think?
Okay, the best time to do for wrapping them, it depends on how you're going to wrap them. You're going to wrap them straight around the plants. Then you can wait until...
The outside trees.
Yeah, the outside trees. So what you want to do is that, depending if you're going to put some stakes around them and then wrap the stakes, you're going to wrap your tree, okay? So you want to put the stakes in before the ground freezes. But if you're just going to wrap the tree, then you don't have to... You may need wrapping the tree for a couple of reasons. One is to protect from sun scald around the trunk itself, or you want to protect from the sun scald from your evergreens from desiccating. And so... But that usually happens most of the time in February and March. That's in the first week of April. So you don't need to wrap them until the snow starts to come down. So not until November, basically.
I thought you wrap them at the end of September and take it off in June, I thought, or something you were saying.
And are you talking about just the shade, like wrapping a cedar, or are you wrapping the trunk of a tree with a tree wrap?
The trunk of the tree.
Okay, the trunk
of
the tree.
So for the bugs or whatever, so they don't go up...
Oh, okay, if you're doing that for the cankerworm, you want to do that by September, by the last week in August. You want to do that. So before the first week, the weekend in September.
Okay.
You want to put your band and your tangle foot on, because they will come up, and then you leave that on until the first week of June, and then you take it off in the first week of June.
Okay.
But you have to reapply the tangle foot in the spring again.
Okay.
Sorry about the confusion there, Veronica. There's
a
couple ways when we talk about wrapping and unwrapping trees. You want to talk about hollyhocks as well, right?
Yes. So when do you pick the hollyhocks? Like, because I would like to plant some or whatever, but I'm just going to pick some seeds off of some hollyhocks. So when do I do that?
Well, what you can do is, are they in full bloom right now?
Yes.
Yeah, so as soon as you see the blooms up, but they're starting to sort of wither a little bit, that's when you can kind of pull the blooms off. Or what you can even do is you can cut the stalk and let it dry. And another way that you can do it is you can actually tie a little bag around the blooms so that when the bloom kind of falls off, it collects the seed in that bag too. So there's a few different ways you can do it.
So do you wait till the hawk goes like to a brown color and then pick the seeds and then plant the seeds?
Yeah, because the way it works is usually the hollyhock would, the bloom would fall down. The seed is actually underneath the flower, and it would, that seed pod would dry down, fall to the ground, and then it would reset into the ground to reseed for the following year. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to capture that seed pod before it falls to the ground so that you can actually plant it in the area you want it for the following year.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Veronica. Take care.
You too.
1-877-332-8255. We're going to Yorkton right now to talk to Bernie. Hi, Bernie. How are you doing?
I'm just great. Thank you very much.
Excellent. What's going on with your grapes?
Well, I planted it 2 years ago, and it is a Concord grape, but I don't know the variety. But I trimmed it down last fall to about a foot high. And I'm just wondering, did I do right? Because I don't know how long does it take before they actually produce fruit.
Yeah, they'll start. You did that last fall, you said? Sorry?
I did.
Yeah, and how much did it grow this year?
It's way over the fence, like 6 feet high.
Yeah, so next year you'll start getting grapes on it again.
Okay, but how much do I trim it down? Like, do I...
If you want, I would because you got the older branches there now. I would only trim it in half this year. I wouldn't trim it right down to the ground.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Just trim back half.
That's the maximum I trim it back if you want to trim it back. Otherwise, you could leave it up there. Only trim out the stuff that's getting away on you. You know that you don't want to grow in those areas. You can trim that back as well. So yeah, either way, you can just either leave it completely, or you can trim it back in half. But I wouldn't trim it any more than one half.
Perfect. And you figure that I should have grapes next year.
You should have grapes next year.
Perfect. Thank you so very much.
All right. Great. You're welcome. Take care. 1-877-332-8255. We're going to keep going with the text line here, the calls. Indian Head, and we've got John on the line. Hi, John.
Hey.
What's your question for us?
I got strawberries, and they bloom, but don't produce nothing.
Okay, it sounds like it might be a pollination issue. So do you have any bees in your yard? Or
There's a few around, yeah.
There's a few around? You can even do is take one of the flowers off and rub it against some of the other flowers, and that might help pollination for you a little bit, too.
Okay.
And then really watch your watering is consistent. Don't keep it too wet or too dry, and we have some heat coming up right now, so you'll want to watch to make sure that they don't get dried out as well, because otherwise those flowers are going to shrivel up on you.
Oh, that's what happens.
Yeah, if they get too dry when they're in the flowering stage, the flowers will just shrivel up on you.
Okay, that's what they're doing, kind of.
Mm-hmm. So they can do that for two reasons. Either they won't get pollinated and they'll shrivel up, or else they're getting too dry in that blooming stage and they'll shrivel up too.
So you take two flowers and rub them together.
Yeah, you can do that. Also, adding a little bit of straw or mulch around the base of your plant helps keep those roots nice and cool, which the strawberries like as well.
Okay. Okay, very good.
Take care, John.
Thank you.
1-877-332-8255. Let's go to North Battleford. We got Alvin on the line. Hi, Alvin. How are you?
Good, thanks.
All right. What's the question? You got towering cedars.
Yeah, I've got a half a dozen towering cedars in my backyard, and the ones that up against the fence facing south, on one side they look like they're dying, like they're dry, and the other side is nice and green.
Okay, the side that's turning brown, did it start doing that in about end of May, beginning of June?
Yes.
Yeah, so they probably, is the side that's turning brown, is it up against the fence?
Yes. Yeah, that would be fair to say.
Yeah, so you're getting reflection of the sun, especially in the March and the first week of April, and the roots are still frozen. And it's basically getting reflection, you're getting heat, basically. What's happening is that the plant is warming up on that side because of the reflection off the fence, okay? And so the way you can stop that is just putting even a piece of burlap up against the fence so that you're not stopping that reflection off the snow and off the fence in that area.
That's the best way to do it, and then you just stop that reflection. And and then also making sure that, you know, during the, you want new growth to fill in. And so during the, during next, not this year is too late, but starting around the Mother's Day next year, how tall are these plants?
Well, I keep them trimmed down, Rick. They're probably about 7 feet tall.
Yeah, so for the 7 feet tall, you're probably going to give about 4 to 5 gallons of water mixed with 30-10-10 fertilizer every 3 weeks from Mother's Day until about July the 15th. And then you'll get lots of growth to fill that back in again. And another thing I want you to watch for and take a look inside the plant is whether you have spider mite. And you have to really look close with almost like a magnifying glass to see them, okay? It's not like a regular spider. And check whether you got spider mite, and you can stop those by just blasting cold water into the middle of the plant. And then the humidity inside the middle of the plant will stop those spider mites from reproducing.
So those spider mites, then they will be in the stalk of the plant.
They'll be on the inside and working their way up and out.
Okay. All right. And that's every 3 weeks to do that fertilizer in the spring, correct?
Starting next spring to get it to fill back out again.
Every 3 weeks, do the fertilizer.
Yep. 4 to 5 gallons of water per time.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Alvin. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. That pretty much takes us right to our next break. So we've got through all the calls here, which is good. We're going to get to the text line. There's lots to talk about here. So stick around. We're going to go talk with Karen at Chittick Lake, Heather in Engelfeld, Diane, Sue. Lots of texts coming up. So we'll be back with that right after this. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. All right, guys, we finally got through our calls, which is great. We've got lots of texts to get to, but I wanted to start with this. We've got a forecast of some really hot weather coming up, like into
plus
the 30s.
27, 30, 31, 32.
What does that mean for where we are at in the season? I'm like with the garden, with your lawn and, shrubs and trees and the flowers, things like that. What do you think, Rick? Let's start with like trees and shrubs. What does that mean for us coming up this week?
Yeah, this is actually perfect. This gets everything, even the garden and the trees and everything starts getting ready for fall because it dries things out. We've had in a lot of parts of the province, we've had a bit of rain now. And so it just sort of settles things down and gets the plants to their last little bit of growth they want to put on before the fall. And I know I have some linden trees that they put some new branches out and so new leaves out. And so this heat will sort of slow them down a bit and then get them and get that moisture out of the soil a bit and then get them ready for wintertime. So just probing the soil, making sure that, you know, your moisture is at a right level. That's the biggest thing to do with that. And Jill, you can talk about the garden.
Yeah, with your vegetables, this is going to be a really important time. We're finding we have a later season this year with our vegetables. So with this heat coming off, it's going to help finish off these vegetables. But when we're seeing our tomatoes, when they're in this stage of ripening, if we start going wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, that's when we start getting diseases like blossom end rot and funguses and such like that. Our plants become weaker. So making sure that we're going out and checking to see that we have consistent watering so that we're keeping things evenly moist, not letting them go really, really dry in between. If you're planning on going away to the lake for this last week, make sure someone's checking on your yard. That's for sure.
Okay, there you go. So that's kind of what to look out for. Let's keep going. We've got text to get to, and one more call has popped up. So we'll go out to Regina right now and talk to Roy. Hi, Roy. How you doing?
I'm good. Good. Thank you.
What's going on with the plum trees?
Well, we've had them like they're established. One's like probably 4 or 5 years old. The other one's 3 or 4 years old. They both bloom. They're like 7-8 feet tall, and we have never had any plums on them. Our neighbor's got one that's probably only 2 years old and got nice-sized plums on them. We dropped some over, and we're just kind of wondering if there's something we're not doing, like they keep them watered, check the soil all the time. They look healthy.
Yeah, if they're really healthy, what's one thing to watch is that don't give them too much nitrogen fertilizer. That's the big one, especially if you've got, you know, in the grass or something like that and using high nitrogen on the lawn. Try not to use that right around the plant. Using a fruit and berry fertilizer, which has more of the micronutrients rather than the high nitrogen, Nitrogen will cause lots of growth, but not very much fruit, because they figure that they're healthy and they're good and they don't need to reproduce themselves, right? So, okay. And also in the spring, basically in the first week of April, give them a little, just a light pruning. And pruning will stress them a little bit, and also when they're stressed, they'll want to reproduce themselves.
Okay, so we're just wondering, like, if the flowering, if it has anything to do with them not wanting to produce any fruit or anything. But yeah, we have never trimmed them back or anything, so we'll try that in the spring.
Don't have to give them a big trimming; just give them a light trimming, and sometimes that'll set them in to start reproducing for you. The orchards do it every year, so you go to BC and that. The orchards do a pruning every year on the plants, so they do that to get the plants to produce more fruit for themselves.
Right. Okay. Okay. Sounds good. We'll give that a shot and see what happens.
Sounds good. Thanks, Roy. Take care.
You bet. Thanks.
1-877-332-8255. This is Karen at Chinnett Lake on the text line. Says, I removed the dogwood, which I believe is a redwood osier dogwood. We're at Chinnett Lake. It's taken over a large area, very labor intensive to remove most of the root system. We've got another one at the backside of our cabin. What's the best way to get rid of this invasive shrub?
Basically just digging it out. Once you dig it out, it'll be gone. So just next, getting all the roots out, dig part of the root out itself, the stump part out, and then once you dig that out, it'll be gone. What happens is that dogwoods, especially the red osier, they'll put a branch low to the ground and then up and out away from the plant. And then when it's touching the ground, the branch will root into the ground and almost make a new plant. It'll just keep getting wider and wider and wider. But once you pull them up and dislodge them from the soil, then they will come back again. So they won't sucker. They send branches out that root. That's the way they keep getting bigger.
Okay. All right. So just have to dig them out, basically.
Basically.
Okay. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go back for one more phone call here. We've got Violet in Maple Creek. Hi, Violet.
Hi.
What's going on in your yard?
I have a problem with a patch of weeds in my garden, and they're dried out now. So I'm wondering if I pick them and stick them in a pail of water with cleaning vinegar in and soak them overnight, if that'll prevent them from sprouting, from the seeds from sprouting at all.
Yeah, so what I would suggest you do, which is even easier, just take all those weeds that you got before they dry, okay, right when you pick them.
Yeah, well, they're dry now. They're all dry now.
Yeah, so the problem when they dry is the seed will ripen and they'll pop out of the shells and spread into the ground again.
Soak the whole plant with I'm cutting them off right now, and if I took them and soaked them in a pail of vinegar.
Yeah, the best thing to do is
vinegar water.
Just put them in a garbage pail and throw them in the garbage, you know, or put them in a garbage pail rather than doing that part, because the vinegar and that will kill the green leaves, but they won't kill the seeds.
Oh, it won't kill the seeds. That's what I wanted to know, if they would kill the seeds.
Yeah, you're better off to putting in right into the garbage and getting it out of the yard. But you want to pick those weeds when they're green, and don't let them sit in the yard when they're brown. Because when they're brown, a lot of the seeds will poof out and go onto the ground already.
Yeah. Okay,
so you want to get them before that point. You know, get them when the seeds are producing and get them out of the yard, and then you won't have that reproduction next year.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. That's all I wanted to know, if they would be the seeds, would if it would kill the seeds or not.
No, I won't kill the seeds.
You won't get those. Okay. Yep. Okay.
Thanks,
thank you,
Violet.
Very much.
All right. Take care.
Yep.
1-877-332-8255. We're going to do one more call here before the bottom of the hour. Keith is up in Echo Bay. Hi, Keith. How are you?
Really good.
Excellent. What's going on with the evergreens there?
Well, it's our mature evergreens, and yesterday it started to rain acorns, little green acorns, and they're coming down by the hundreds.
Oh, boy.
Do you have squirrels?
Yes.
Because right up here at the lake I'm at right now, the picnic table this morning was covered with acorns and groups of them, because the squirrels were up there chewing off the branch and dropping them to the ground so that they can go and store them for the wintertime. So that's what the squirrels were doing here up at Emma Lake. And it just covered. The ground is just covered with acorns. And it's from the squirrels doing their harvest, basically. And which is a good thing, because if you got a lot of acorns, it puts a lot of stress on the plant. So if they're taking the acorns off the trees, That's a good thing. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. And but one thing I'm worried about more is that if the tree's producing a ton of acorns, that means the tree's under stress. Okay. If it doesn't produce very many, that means it's doing just fine. And if it produces lots of acorns, it's stressed. So you just need to, next year, you need to make sure you water and fertilize those evergreens, and then they won't produce so many acorns.
Yeah, they're only like 30 feet from the lake.
Yep.
They still need to be watered?
Yeah, well, it depends. Like, it depends if the roots are down. Like, a lot of times those roots are just shallow. So it depends what the height difference is from the lake to there. So they might be fine. They might have the roots down into the water. And then otherwise, all they might need is some nutrients, you know, because you're cleaning up around the cabin and that, and you're cleaning up all the mulch and all the acorns that fall down that give it its compost for the years to come, okay? So you may have to give it a bit of nutrients if you're cleaning up your yard completely.
Okay, so just leave those acorns as they are, and they'll be good for next
yep.
year also then.
Well, most likely the squirrels will take them all away for you, because that'll be their storage for the wintertime.
Yeah, okay. Well, they'll be busy, because there's a few on this. We've never seen this many before.
Well, yeah, like I said, honestly, the ground and the whole picnic table was just covered with acorns this morning. So it's what they're doing this time of the year, especially in the nighttime. Just, you know, once we get into August, they're making lots of storage for acorns. So they're knocking them all off the trees so they can collect them on the ground and carry them where they want to store them.
Okay, well, that's... Just let nature do its thing then.
Yeah, let nature do its thing.
All right.
Good, all right.
Got to run. Thanks very much, Keith. Take care.
Yeah, you bet.
Bye-bye.
Jay, could I just pop in here? The ISA Prairie Tree Climbing Competition is still on today. The
Ooh.
Finals are happening right now. They're just strapping up to start doing the climbing at Kinsman Park this morning. So if you're wanting something to do this morning, head to Kinsman Park this morning and you can catch the tree climbing competition.
Perfect. When we get back, we'll go with Terry's call, and we've got to go with a news break right now. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, half an hour to go. We're going to fire into the text line in just a second. Just one more to call to get through here. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Rick's on the phone with us right now, but we got him locked in, and we're going to take a call right now from Terry, who's in Saskatoon. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Pretty good. What's going on with your spruce tree today?
Well, I've got spruce trees, and it seems like it's in kind of an ongoing battle with spider mites, and they do the spray down, and it certainly seems to help on a temporary basis. And then I know the one thing that Rick has mentioned before is trying to keep the tree as healthy as possible. I'm just wondering, I have discontinued fertilizing, which I think is correct at this time of year.
That's correct.
And so should, in light of this coming week being hot weather, should I do a good watering of those trees? And is there anything else I can do before next year to kind of retard the spider mites from coming back? Or is it just something that I'll have to continue maintaining that attack as we go along?
Yeah, maintaining the attack. But right now, give them a good watering, because then what happens during the hot weather, that's when they really start sucking and reproducing. Okay.
Okay.
So do the good watering, but also blast cold water into the branches.
That sure seems to work, Rick, because when I do that temporarily, it seems to shut them down for a while, but then they come back later. So,
yeah, well, they start reproducing when it's hot. So if you can keep that humidity up there, then they can't reproduce. Okay, so so that's what you can do. But give them a good watering so that when they're sucking, that there's some replenishment. Okay, what's happening is they're replenishing it. So, and then next year you can go back at it again and doing the same thing. And if you have real problems, if you can. It's hard to find right now, but if you can find some malathion, that works really good too. But I like doing it. It's hard to do it because the spruce trees have so many birds' nests in them a lot of times, you know, so you don't want to spray during the time they're nesting.
Right.
So that's just finding the time when they're finished nesting that you can spray them with that, but otherwise just blasting with cold water.
Yeah.
Just to keep them under control, and then that way you'll just, hopefully in the next year or two I'm going to have a spider mite that we can release. In that's a good spider mite that eats the bad spider mite.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
If that comes out, then we'll hopefully have it in the next year or two. Then that'll be a big change in how we can attack these spider mites.
for sure. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry. Yep. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, so here we go. We got to go fire into our text line, and we got the start of the lightning round. Of course, there's...
Dun-da-da.
Yeah, exactly. The second half when we get back from our last segment. But here we go. Lana is in Eagle Lake. Good morning. I've collected lots of carragana seeds to plant alongside of what is a shelter belt of poplar trees and bushes that are protection for my yard. That's now been severely lessened by neighboring farmers. Okay, whatever that story is. How do I proceed in planting these seeds in and around the remaining trees and bushes for success to grow them to widen the shelter belt that's needed? So,
yeah,
carragana seeds, what would you do with that?
Yeah, carragana seeds, once they're ripening up, you'll see that they almost want to split open. That's in the time when you want to pick them, and then you can spread them out and get them in contact with the soil, basically. Then sometimes it takes up to 2 years for them to germinate. Otherwise, what you can do too is you take what works really good is if you go in March and you take about the last week, the last half of March, you go out there and you take about your cuttings out of the carragana hedge about the size, about the thickness of your index finger, let's say, any one of your fingers really, and then about 6 inches long. And then you put them in the fridge, and then you go and plant them out when the ground, the frost comes out of the ground. And those things, as long as you keep a bit of moisture there, and if you put, especially if you put some stem root number 3 on them, they'll root. I mean, back when we used to plant out in the fields, we used to have carragana windbreaks, and I used to cut a branch out of the carragana hedge and stick it in the ground to put the tag on to what type of plants I was planting, and that carragana stick would always outgrow the trees that I planted actually in the row.
Oh, really?
So it works really well to do it that way, too, if you want them something quicker than growing it from seed.
Okay, so Lana, maybe that's, you've collected the seeds, which is okay. Maybe if you want to get it going faster, that's what you actually do, right?
It's called a hardwood cutting, so you can look it up if you want how to do a hardwood cutting of a carragana, and it works really well.
Okay. I remember when we were kids, we used to have lots of sticks in the fridge and used to wrap paper around them and then put an elastic band and stick them in the fridge in a bucket for a while and then plant them in the spring.
That is right.
All right. This is Rosanda, who's Estevan. I've attached a picture of my tomatoes. Every year, some of them do this, but then they straighten out. This year, they all did this, didn't straighten out. Watering is done by a weeper hose, never overwatered or let to go dry. Could it be an issue with the soil? So... I'm not sure. I'm like, I just got Jill here looking at this picture. It's a tomato plant. Maybe it's just all tangled up. Is that what her issue is?
Yeah, it looks. So what I'm looking at here is a bunch of tomato leaves that are all curled, and then they got a little bit of brown tipping on the ends, but it looks like they've dried. I'm wondering if the wind has battered this branch and broken some of the branches up above a little bit or damaged them, and that's what has caused it. You say that you've kept the soil consistent, so usually the picture actually looks like it could be... could be some like the plants drying out, but you're not seeing that. My next question would be if the fruit is fine, and you're not having any trouble with it, I would just lightly prune those top branches off of it because then the plant's not putting energy into those dead branches there. And
right.
It looks like the fruit is ripening nicely. So prune off the top part where those branches are kind of not looking so nice. Allow some fresh growth to come up there. I think you're going to have a good crop this year looking at the fruit there. But if the fruit starts changing, maybe take some pictures of the fruit and send it to info@dutchgrowers.com. I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into it for you.
Okay, there you go. 1-877-332-8255 on the text line. This is Cooper, who's in Watson. Can I eat raw zucchini?
Can you eat raw zucchini? Yeah, you definitely can.
Can I know
lots of people who will eat raw zucchini. They'll even sort of just take it on a almost like a potato peeler and sort of peel it that way and put it into a salad. You can do it that way too.
Okay, but, so nothing that we know of then that would stop you from eating zucchini raw.
Lots of people do it that
way. It's like eating a cucumber raw, right?
Some people don't like the taste of it. It kind of sometimes will have a sharp or a bitter taste when it's raw. When you cook it, the sweetness comes out.
Yes, it certainly does. And when you really cook it, it kind of goes to mush.
Yeah.
I know about that. Yeah. Okay, one more before we go to our break. Iris is in Saskatoon. No, sorry, in Regina, just to flip that around. Is it okay to reseed a lawn at this time of the year? And if so, what lawn seed would you recommend? So what do you think about that, Rick? Reseeding now?
Yeah, depending where it is, if it's a sunny location, put a Canada number one mix. It's perfect timing right now. We're going to get some heat, and it'll still have lots of time to germinate. And if it's a shady area, use a more of a shade blend of grass seed, or if you've got a mix, there's actually some mixes of shade and sun, so it'll fill in really nice for you.
Okay. What should I spray a Virginia creeper with to get rid of those aphids on it?
Just use Endol, a product called Endol. It's canola oil, insecticidal soap, and a little bit of pyrethrin. It works really well to get rid of those aphids.
All right, there you go. Iris, hope that helps you out. We're going to go lightning round of our text line and get them all answered when we get back. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. It is the lightning round here on Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We've got lots of texts to get through, so we're going to go quick through them and get as many answers as we can. We'll get them all done here. This is Darla, and she says this was our last night in our yard. It's our trampoline was bolted to the ground and flew 15 feet in the air.
Wow.
Hitting part of our 40-foot poplar tree, landed in an open field next to us. Lucky nobody was hurt. We're about 15 kilometers south of Saskatoon. It's also moved our little deck going into our trampoline about a foot. Never experienced anything like this with the weather we had. Definitely feeling thankful not having more damage. Lots of our trees are down too. And she sent a picture, and the poor trampoline is in the field, mangled, all twisted up. And
very mangled.
The busted up tree, you know, hanging there and everything. Look, I moved the deck right off the footing, and wow, that's incredible. So if we have down trees, Rick, stuff like that.
Yeah, do some trimming, and any branches that are broken, you can trim them anytime if they're broken anyway. So do that safely. Make sure that you're cutting. Don't try to cut the whole limb off if it's a big branch, because that could fall down and knock you off the ladder or whatever you're on. And so take it piece by piece, little pieces at a time, and or otherwise get a professional to come in and take them down for you. That's the big one. Go ahead.
It's also a good time to examine your tree and see if there's any cracks or anything down the main part of the branch that may have formed, because you might even want to take some weight off of some of those heavy branches if that's the case as well, too.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's perfect.
Okay, this is Jerry. I have some brown areas in my grass. I thought it was lack of watering in the area, but it looks like something different. Jerry and Warman.
Yeah, there's a lot of both two things that we're seeing. We're seeing cinch bugs, and we're seeing the sod webworms. So you've got to take your shovel and dig a little patch and see what you have in the grass there, and then you can treat them accordingly. There's some nematodes for cinch bugs, and also for the sod webworms, you can use the nematodes as well. It works really well for them, and does a good job of getting rid of them.
Now, we're sold out of the nematodes right now, Rick. Is there any other options that you would have?
There's really no other options, because all the other chemicals, you could put down some diatomaceous earth, that could work as well. And that's about the only other thing. All the other chemicals that really work really well have been taken off the market. So
would the bug X out with the pyrethrin work just as a temporary to keep it down?
That would slow them down quite a bit, actually. It might not, if you can get contact, it's a contact. So that's something you have to put it in a watering can and water it into the soil then. That's the only way. Just by spraying it, you're not really going to get rid of those bugs that are in the soil.
Okay.
This is from Bev in Regina. Bev sent us a text with a picture. What's wrong with my neighbor's willow? Can anything be done? It happens every year, and it's a picture of a leaf, but it's basically like right black and brown, right?
Rick, it looks like he's got a fungal on his willow.
Yeah, that could be, though. It might not be a fungal. It might be that miner again, okay? There is a willow blight that goes through them as well. But most likely what it is the miner. But what he can do is just take a picture close up and a little bit farther away, and then send it to info@dutchgrowers.com. We can clarify whether it is a fungal. If it's a fungal, all you can really do is trim it out or pick up the leaves in the fall and put them in the garbage. If it's an insect, then there's not a whole lot we can do, because there's no systemic insecticides to get them, but they won't really hurt the plant, so you don't have to really worry about it.
All right, Stephen is south near Clavette, just outside of Saskatoon. We've got lots of small dirt mounds appearing, but no hole in the ground for the dirt to come from. Suggestions or thoughts? So it's just
okay.
Mounds of dirt, and there's no hole in them. What animal we got there, Rick?
Okay, if it's a bigger mound of dirt, then it's called a mole. Okay,
with
and
an
a mole is fairly large, and it digs in the ground, tunnels underneath the ground. And so the way you can get rid of those, if you want, because they get, especially to get into the garden, I had problems out in the nursery where they would eat all the roots of my roses and everything else too. So so what you want to do is you can use what's called a black hole trap. You got to dig down to the tunnel, and then you put the black hole trap in, and you just follow the directions. It works really, really well getting rid of the moles.
Moles don't, like, they dig up tunnels and dig up the dirt, but they don't leave a hole open. They don't want sunlight, right? So,
they don't leave a hole. You just see mounds.
So, and do they work at night, those creatures?
They're very nocturnal, but they work, because they were underground, they work a lot of different times. One time I remember we had one in our garden, and all of a sudden I seen, just like the old Bugs Bunny store, it shows you see where you see the plant disappearing into the ground. It did that right in front of me.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
The whole plant, shoop, gone.
The whole plant, shoop, gone.
That's crazy. Lyle says, I heard that chopping up your rhubarb leaves and boiling them, pouring that over the anthill is supposed to work. We had a call about, or text, I should say, about
using them as a compost to see if it would work. And that doesn't necessarily work, but that's interesting to know. I like hearing these home remedies that have worked in the past for people.
Very cool. Ted is in Regina Beach. Good morning. A couple questions, if you can. Can a person start a chokecherry tree or Saskatoons from the berries?
Yeah, they can, but they don't necessarily will be the same variety. Chokecherries will basically stay pretty much the same variety because so many around, but Saskatoons, the cultivar changes. That's how we get varieties like Martin and Thiessen and Pembina. They are all selections from the wild because there's cross-pollinization happening, right? And so then after that, then they don't do by seed anymore. They actually take cuttings from them or do tissue culture. And that's how we propagate them after that to keep them true to name. But yeah, you definitely can. Choke cherries and Saskatoons, absolutely you can do by seed.
Okay. Ted, his other question is, I realize I can try to dig out a little shoot off of a choke cherry or Saskatoon. That's the way you can transplant, right?
Yeah, it'll stay true. It'll chase true to the name of the plant as well.
Right. How about transplanting part of a red currant bush? Can you transplant part of that?
Yeah, if you can get some with a piece of root on it. Otherwise, you take a softwood cutting from them as well.
Okay, there you go. Let's see if we can get one more text answered here. We got a couple more questions. Jason's from Merrifield. I was cultivating using my Leatherman multi-tool to cut a hose. Left it in the frame. 10 years later, my dad was working in the same field, saw something shine in the field, stopped, picked it up, and I still have the Leatherman 20 years later. That's crazy. Neat story.
Yeah.
Some tools are resilient.
He says, my cucumbers mostly have male flowers. Is it the seed, or what can I do if that happens again?
Well, your cucumbers, this has been an issue this year because the male flowers will come first and the female flowers afterwards. So with a late season that we're having, we're finding that some of the female flowers haven't formed yet, especially if they were planted a little bit later. Be patient. Make sure you get some row covers so you can extend the season. That's the biggest thing.
Okay, with less than a minute to go, Rick, we got hot weather, and Jill, we got hot weather coming up this week. So
keep your plants hydrated with your annuals, vegetables, and make sure that you're fertilizing them still so they can have lots of energy to get through the season.
School might be starting pretty soon, but it doesn't mean that we're done with the flowers, right?
No, absolutely not. Keep your flowers going as long as we can, and if some things have started to turn amiss or maybe got battered by the wind this past week, I see some fall mums and some of the fall grasses coming out. You can sort of pop some of those into the pots to make them beautiful.
All right.
I stole some potatoes and some beets out of the garden. We had them for supper last night. It's awesome when you get fresh vegetables out of the
Love it.
Well, have a good time up at the lake there, Rick.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for us today. See you same time, same place next weekend. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Thanks for listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.